In verse 13, Paul says concerning the Thessalonian Christians, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. What a very, very rich passage of Scripture in such a few words. What is sanctification? I think it is another one of those Bible words that not only has been greatly misunderstood, but in some religious circles it has been greatly abused. So let's just start off by saying what the Scripture itself assures us of, and that is sanctification. All Christians, if you are a child of God, if you have become obedient to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, we'll want to talk about that a little further this morning, but all Christians have been sanctified. All of us, through the Holy Spirit of God, have experienced sanctification. So in the terms, in the words that some friends will use, and in the negative, sanctification is not a second blessing. It is a first blessing from God. It is that which you receive whenever you decide, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to come out of the world of sin and darkness. I want to be separated from the world of sin and sinners. I want to live in such a way where those that look at me, and especially where God the Heavenly Father will consider me, He will be able to say, that's one of my children. They have experienced sanctification. Well, it's a very interesting, it is a very powerful word. So you can go to Mr. Vine's dictionary or one of the other very good, reliable reference books, and you will find, well, first of all, that it comes from a word that means holy. And whenever we consider further, we notice that our word saint also comes from this very same word. It applies to all Christians. What does it mean? Well, it does indeed mean that if one has been sanctified, he is holy, and then it carries with it the idea of being separate, being set apart, in particular, being set apart from evil people, from evil things, in order that we might carry out what God has in mind for us. Well, how does sanctification come about? Again, it is not something that is mysterious. But how does it come about? And then, in order for us to understand both the importance of the subject that we are considering and in order to see the wonder of sanctification, we want to notice what its blessings are. Have you been sanctified? If you have been sanctified, there are many, many wonderful spiritual blessings that have already come your way and that will come your way. But then, last of all, perhaps, we want to talk about what the responsibilities are of everyone who has been sanctified. And there are such. There are such duties. There are such responsibilities that God expects out of every one of those that have experienced sanctification. Well, how does it come about? Well, first of all, the passage of Scripture. I don't know if you've turned your Bible there yet. I hope you have. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verses 13 and 14. The first thing that we notice is there could be no sanctification without God. God is the instrument. He is the means by which every one of us can experience sanctification. So when you look at verse 13, you notice the prominence of God. It is because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification. Not only is God involved, but that second personality in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is also involved in bringing about our sanctification. And again, the very same verse, verse 13 of our text, sanctification by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, and again, I want to emphasize, not in some mysterious way. Let's try to get that thought out of our mind. That's not the way that sanctification is going to come about through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, oh yes, the third personage in the Godhead is very much involved. And we're on familiar territory whenever we ask the question, how did Jesus Christ make it possible for you and for me to be sanctified, to experience that sanctification? I think the book of Hebrews probably is the very best place where we can turn for our answer. Whenever we look, Hebrews chapter 9 is the first reference that I have. Hebrews 9, and in reference, first of all, to the Old Testament. Let's start with verse 11 of Hebrews 9. The writer says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. And now, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse," this is what happens in sanctification, "cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And then the next chapter, Hebrews 10 and verse 10, "By that will," the second will, "by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." All right, if you're thinking with me, and I hope all of you are, we say, how does sanctification come about? How do Christians receive that wonderful, wonderful setting apart, that holiness of being? Well, It's through our Heavenly Father. We could not do it without Him. It is by the Holy Spirit of grace that we have been sanctified. And then thirdly, the blood of Jesus Christ. How grateful, how thankful we should be. We've celebrated the Lord's Supper just a moment ago, didn't we? And you know, there are so many good spiritual thoughts that Christians remind themselves of as they take that bread and as they take that cup. And one of the things that goes through our mind is we're saying, you know, it would be meaningless for me to be here this morning if it were not for the death of Jesus. All that we are and all that we have, I'm not exaggerating now. Everything that we can possibly be as God's people is involved in Jesus, that great love, that great sacrifice, His willingness to shed His blood. This new covenant is wonderful. If we were under that old covenant, we're reminded that there was just the blood of bulls and goats. It served a purpose. It served the purpose that God had in mind. But it is only through the offering of the body of Christ. It is only through His shed blood that you and I can seat ourselves here this morning and be able to say in truth, we've experienced sanctification. All right. Now, do you play a part in your sanctification? I think that is something else that many in the religious world miss. They say, oh no, it is through some mysterious way that the Holy Spirit is going to work on you. That's the way sanctification comes. No, no. Do you know that we have a part to play? And if you have observed the words in the text that Brother Mickey read, you will notice that this sanctification was not only by the Spirit, but it was by belief of the truth. When you heard the gospel, let's refer back to the very beginning in your life. As a Christian, whenever you heard the gospel and you heard Jesus has died on my behalf. Now, there's a lot of people that hear the gospel and they shake their heads and they walk away and they say, I don't believe. Well, those people never can be sanctified, can they? But by belief of the truth. John 17 and verse 17, do you remember how that is worded? Jesus' prayer to the Father says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So we hear the gospel of truth and we say, I believe every word of that. I believe Jesus is the divine Son of God. I believe that it was in this wonderful plan of God's that He said, I'm going to send my Son to earth. And we heard that gospel, and those of us that have been sanctified, we say, you know, I believe that with all of my heart. There's not a single doubt in my mind that is not what happened those hundreds of years ago. And because I believe it, then I have the opportunity to be sanctified. When does the sanctification actually take place? Another question. Well, in baptism. Until that time, whenever we say, I want to put off the old man of sin. I want to, how shall we put it, be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you remember that's what 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says? If any man is in Christ Jesus, what is he? He is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. A new creature. We've been having an excellent study in the book of Ephesians. And as it talks about the relationship between husband and wife, that is compared to Christ's relationship with the church. So I look at verse 26 of Ephesians 5, and it uses that word sanctify. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Oh, well, baptism then does play a very important part, doesn't it? And as we talk about the blessings to be received in sanctification, in just a minute, I'm going to mention another passage of Scripture that makes it so abundantly clear that we too play a part in being sanctified. Well, what are the benefits? What are the benefits? You know, every one of us has cause for rejoicing if we have experienced sanctification. And I have to tell you, and I mean this sincerely, I am sorrowful for those in the world that have not been sanctified. I don't feel superior, but I am sorrowful for them, because sanctification includes the forgiveness of sins. What does it mean to you whenever you are able to say, I am a saint, I have been sanctified? Well, it means your sins have been forgiven. What if you were still in your sins? What if everything that you had done wrong, every wrong thought, every evil deed, every angry action, everything that you have ever done, what if you had to carry that burden of guilt with you all of your life? Have you thought about that? What is the wonder of sanctification? My dear friends, when you came up out of the waters of baptism, I can look out on the audience and I can remember the occasion when that happened in some of your lives. Some of you had that to happen years and years ago. I have never yet seen an angry face that came up out of the waters of baptism. I've never ever seen that. But I've seen a lot of happy, happy people all over the world. I've seen a lot of people who, as they came up from the waters of baptism, new creatures in Christ is what the Scripture describes them, babes in Christ, newborn again, starting life out all over again. Do you know there is not a single transgression that you were guilty of before you were baptized, no matter how bad they were? Think about those murderers of Jesus. No matter how bad it was, God forgave you every one of those sins. It's a blessing. God does something else. In sanctification, the book of Colossians tells us that he delivers us from the realm of Satan. Colossians 1 and verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. Colossians 1, 12 and 13, if you want to read it. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power, from the domain of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Those of us that have been sanctified, do you know what we are a part of? The kingdom of His dear Son. We've been delivered from Satan's kingdom. We've been delivered from the power, from the domain of Satan. And God has just translated us. He has transferred us out of that evil power of Satan. He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Do you know what that makes you? That makes you special. That makes you special. Have you been feeling bad this week? Come on now, be honest with me. Have you been feeling bad this week? People say, I'm just sick and tired of the snow. Well, I want you to know I am too. I'm glad for this 50-degree weather today, God being willing. It's all right if it all melts with. But people, you know, you say, people were ugly to me this week. Well, that's always going to be the case of it, isn't it? Well, you say, I don't have any future. Oh, come on now. Let's get real. Let's get real. Do you know what kind of future you have if you've been sanctified? Oh, my. It's beyond belief. 1 Peter 2. Please, read it with me. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, my dear brother and sister, how wonderfully blessed you are. You're a special people. You are a people for God's own possession. You have received mercy and grace. Well, we've got work to do. We have a special work to do. Peter has talked about it here, hadn't he? He doesn't give that work to just anybody. People on the outside, they don't have this work to do. This is the responsibility. Now, you've got to examine your own self at this point. I know that's so. You have to ask yourself, have I entered into this special kind of relationship with Christ, with God, with the Holy Spirit, so that when he looks at me, not the other fella now, when he looks at me, he says, that is one of my own special people. Well, what does he expect out of you? Well, he expects more out of you than he expects out of anybody. He expects you to be holy. It just won't work. It won't cut it for you to say, before I was a Christian, that's the way I live. No, that won't work anymore. Mm-mm. Now, verse 13 here in 1 Peter 1. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Don't run away from that word, dear brother and sister. What are you to be if you have been sanctified? You're to be holy. You're to be holy. Look at God. He is your supreme model. Be holy, for I am holy. We said, and the scripture teaches us, that God's people are different. Different from those in the world. There is a temptation to want to be just like your neighbor. There is a temptation to want to be just like those that are at school. There is a temptation to want to be just like those folks that we work with. But those of us that have been sanctified, we can't do that. So we go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and we begin with verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. Perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. Preaching ought to be for everybody. Do you know that? It ought to be for everybody. There ought to be an appeal to Christians. It's good to impart Bible knowledge. That has a benefit. But if we never make application, that knowledge is not good for very much. Every Christian here this morning ought to say, I'm so blessed. I'm not going to be unhappy. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I've been sanctified. But you know what? Those of you that have not had that blessing yet, I want you, but God wants you, to also experience the wonder of sanctification. You see, the gospel is for everyone. It doesn't matter what your background is. None of those things count at all. God pleads with you this morning as we do. If you've not yet been sanctified, become a Christian this morning. Let God do His work in your life and call you and separate you from the world. And then those of us who are already sanctified, let's live up to the expectations God has for us.